Welcome to The Late Disciple, a ministry of Truth Seekers Fellowship. Lay teacher Tom Murray continues our study about the Messiah by answering the question, what kind of Messiah did the Old Testament reveal? You may have heard about the fullness of the Spirit. Well, today, Tom will discuss the sevenfold Spirit that characterized Jesus.
Welcome back to our study. We're looking at the Old Testament under three groupings of scriptures, that is, the law, the prophets, and the writings. And we are looking now under the prophets, and we're dealing with the prophet Isaiah. And in our last broadcast, we were in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, and we had dealt with the fact that when the Messiah appeared, that he would appear when the house of David or the house of Jesse was reduced to abject poverty, which is exactly what Luke records for us in the New Testament concerning Jesus of Nazareth. But what we are told is that when Jesus appeared on the earth, and John the Baptist in John 3:34 described Jesus, he described him as having the fullness of the Spirit. Now in Isaiah 11:2 it said that the Spirit would be upon him, the fullness of the Spirit would be upon him. Now John the Baptist reaffirmed that when he said, "For he whom God has sent speak the words of God, because he, God, gives the Spirit without measure to him." Now those of us who are believers, we have the Holy Spirit, as much of him as we're going to receive this side of heaven. But we are told that we have the earnest or the down payment. We do not have the sevenfold fullness of the Holy Spirit. And the problem with believers today in our spiritual warfare is not that we need to try to get more of the Holy Spirit, because you cannot get more of the Holy Spirit than you received at the moment of your conversion. But the point, the struggle, and the issue we must confront is how much of us is the Holy Spirit being allowed to control. Now, because each believer has only a measure of the Spirit, each one of us has different gifts, and each one of us have different ministries in the body of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 13 and 14. No one ever has all the gifts and the spiritual gifts, and because God has ordained that the members of the church be mutually dependent upon each other, therefore the gift or gifts that I have that you don't have, if we're in the same local church assembly, we must depend on each other, because you need the manifestations of the Spirit and the gifts through my life. But then I don't have the manifestations of the Spirit and the gifts that you have, therefore I am dependent upon you. But in contrast to that, Jesus was given the Spirit without measure. Now in Scripture, the number seven signifies perfection. It signifies completeness or fullness. So the sevenfold nature of the Spirit in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, is synonymous with the measureless fullness that John was talking about, the Baptist, in John 3:34. Now, this sevenfold fullness of the Spirit also corresponds to the seven spirits that are mentioned in the book of Revelation in chapter 1:4, chapter 3:1, 4:5, and 5:6. Now, what are the sevenfold measures of the Holy Spirit or attributes? Well, first of all, there is the knowledge of the Lord. Jesus said, "No man has known the Father except the Son." Jesus knows everything there is to know about the Father, and he is the one who reveals the Father to us. We have limited knowledge of the Lord, and we have knowledge limited only to what our Bible reveals to us, but it is limited. He has the spirit of counsel, in that when he speaks, he has full knowledge of all things, so whenever his counsel is given, it's always not only the right counsel, it is the perfect counsel. Thirdly, he has the spirit of wisdom. And wisdom is looking at life from God's point of view. It is the skill to make decisions and to discern in situations in the daily course of life with a total God-like, Christ-like character. He also had the spirit of the Lord, which is the spirit of deity himself, because God, Christ was certainly both God and man. But he had the spirit of understanding without measure. That is, he could apply all truth that he knew to its highest and best use. That's what the spirit of understanding is. And he had the spirit of power, in that all of the power of the Holy Spirit was available to Jesus, and Jesus could draw upon that power through the Spirit at any moment of his life. And also he had the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And that fear of the Lord is not a dread or a frightened word. It means awe, or awe of the Lord as to who he is, knowing who God really is. So Isaiah 11, 1-2 teaches us that the Messiah would be born into the house of David. Secondly, he would not be born until the house of David had once again returned to the state of poverty which it suffered under in the days of David's father, Jesse. So Messiah would be born into a house of lowliness in the line of David. And then we're told that Messiah would have the sevenfold fullness of the Holy Spirit, and that his life would demonstrate that he had the Spirit without measure, and he would walk in the fullness of the Spirit. Now that moves us quite a ways from Isaiah 11 all the way to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 to 5. And here, this passage is not dealing with the Messiah himself personally, but it's dealing with the forerunner that would come to announce the Messiah. This passage deals with the herald of the king, and I'd like to read it to you from the New American Standard Bible. In verses 3 through 5, a voice is calling, "Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord Jehovah has spoken." What this passage tells us is that they were to clear the road of any obstacles or any repair that needed to be made in any potholes. And this was normal in the ancient world. If a king was making a journey and he was coming toward your particular palace or your capital city, in preparation for the king's arrival, road crews would be sent out to fix up potholes and to repair the road, so that as the visiting monarch came, he would be welcomed and he would have a smooth and an enjoyable journey. Now this passage tells us that a forerunner is going to actually come before the Messianic king arrives. Now a forerunner always went before any ancient king in the ancient world to announce that the king was coming, and also to be sure that all preparations were in order. We do that today when dignitaries leave our country or come to our country. They send people ahead who make arrangements for all the things that are going to be happening and that will take place. In the New Testament, these words are specifically applied to John the Baptist. These words that were quoted as I read earlier, let me read those to you in Matthew 3, 1-6. "Now in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, and make his paths straight." Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt about his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all of the southern kingdom of Judea, and all the district around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by John in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. So what we learn from Isaiah chapter 40 is one more little piece to our mosaic that we are putting together as to what kind of Messiah or Redeemer did the Old Testament actually reveal. And what we learn from this passage is that Messiah would have a forerunner or a herald that would come before he appeared to make preparations for his arrival. Now that brings us to another passage in Isaiah, which is Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 6. And this particular passage deals with the text of the servant of Jehovah. And since we only have a little over a minute left in this broadcast, I think what I'll do is not jump into Isaiah 42, 1 to 6 today, but just encourage you to take this study and go back in your Bible and begin to see what God actually said rather than just reading what men might say, because the scriptures are very clear as to all the details that we could possibly know about the seed of the woman from Genesis 3:15 all the way until we get to the last prophet, which is Malachi, and then we finish all of the writings. I have found it to be a fascinating study, and if you remember when we began this whole series on what kind of Messiah Redeemer did the Old Testament reveal, it all began with Jesus talking to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus when he told them that they were slow to believe all that the prophets had written and in the Psalms. And what he did with them was he began with Moses, and he took them, just like we are doing in this study, he took them from the law to the prophets to all the writings, and he expounded to them all the things concerning himself. So what you're doing in these daily broadcasts is you are actually revisiting all the verses and all the prophecies that Jesus went over with the two on the road to Emmaus, and the result was their hearts began to burn. I hope this study doesn't give you a fat head. I hope it gives you a burning heart. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Tom. Well, I hope that these programs are helping you get a better understanding about God's plan for your life. If you'd like a cassette copy of this program or you'd like information on one of our Bible studies, call us at Truth Seekers Fellowship. The number is 901-685-3385. Outside Memphis, call toll-free, 866-685-3385. You can also contact us through our new website at www.milktomeat.org, where you'll find helpful information, ministry tools, and even audio files of the radio programs. Now, make plans to join us next time right here for The Lay Disciple.